This podcast is brought to you by Art Margins, the online journal of East and Central European contemporary art. Download more podcasts and read interviews, articles, and reviews at www.artmargins.com.
Hello and welcome to this Art Margins podcast. My name is Ruben Fowkes, and I'm here with Maya Fowkes, and we'd like to interview Çaban Emeş and Kishpal Soboç, two members of the Free Artists Group, about recent events in Hungarian art, and especially the activities of the group in response to the situation now in Hungary. Maybe if you could say a couple of words, just introducing yourselves. Çaba, if you'd like to go first.
Yeah, I'm an artist, and I'm also a teacher in the art faculty in Pécs in countryside, which is a university, and I'm teaching art there. I have a class, a painting class.
Yes, I'm also a teacher here in Budapest at the intermediate department, and basically I'm an artist, but I would say less and less.
More an activist.
Yes, maybe. Okay.
So we would like to start by asking you first for what have happened in your personal artistic practice, and what were maybe the turning points, what were the tipping points which made you decide to become more active in the art scene?
Well, I mean, for a while I was dealing with some sort of political issues in my art, but then at some point in November last year, I just saw an interview with a very weird guy. He is called György Fekete, and he's the president of this Hungarian Academy of Arts. And I found that so revolting, and I found very kind of scandalous what was kind of behind this interview, that I just suddenly decided that I have to go and I have to do something.
How about you, Çaba? Was that the turning point for you, or was it something else?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I was also interested in political and social engaged art in the last few years, but I never thought that I should make something really directly in the public space, of course, usually I go to demonstrations and try to be there when there are some important questions and meetings. But in this case, as Szabó said, it's turned out this new construction, the MMA, the Hungarian Art Academy, can be a very, very weird and also risky construction for the cultural life. And that was the main point. But also, during this government, there were some other very strange political decisions as well. For example, about Mitcharnok, when there was an application for the new director, and who was win, the one who even didn't apply for it. So, for example, for me, that was also a kind of sign that every time, during every government, we had troubles in the cultural field, but more often and often have scandals.
I think it's quite interesting that when that happened with the Mucsanak or Kunsthalle, there wasn't such a big reaction. It was only in November
later,
or two years later, that there somehow a tipping point was reached, or suddenly, as I think one of your press releases from the Ludwig Stairs protest, the title was "Enough is Enough." Suddenly, mm-hmm. people felt that enough is enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think there are kind of some sort of special moments in the history and in this process in which the people kind of realize and understand certain where certain processes are going to. And I think actually it was November last year when for many people it became clear, even though the process started well before, so it started almost 1.5 years earlier when the MMA was introduced into the constitution and named. But at that time, I think everybody believed that actually this is it's only a symbolic gesture, which would have had its kind of purpose. But then in November last year, the people realized that actually it was a pretty well kind of constructed strategy. And at the end of the strategy, actually, what was placed is that an absolutely special function. It was kind of designed and given to this institution, which was a private institution for 20 years, and it was introduced into the kind of public cultural life, and it was literally placed on the top of the whole Hungarian culture, both in the sense of decision and ideologically and so on.
And if you can tell us a little bit more of how the movement or the group Free Artist was formed, and what were the first actions, how it came together?
Mm-hmm. It's a bit complicated story because at the beginning there were many different kind of organization and also meetings, what should we do and how we should react on this new cultural development. And the first step was just a meeting in the Young Artist Association. There were many people, and it was very common that we like to do something really which is serious and visible and which is a proper answer for this kind of new movement. But later on, some people disappeared. We had several other meetings. So slowly, it's formed a kind of group, a small group, who is usually organized actions to demonstrate and attack somehow this new MMA. Contributions.
There's quite an iconic picture of you actually, Chaba, from the first action that you took on the time of the general meeting of the MMA, which was reproduced a lot in the press, at least the online press, and I think also and even an artwork has been done based on that image of you with something pressed up against your face. What exactly was going on in that scene?
We went to this official meeting of MMA, and it turned out it was quite difficult to do anything there because there was a guard. The cultural minister came also to have a speech, and we planned to open a banner, and we tried to throw papers with our demands, and we just ran to the table where the leaders of the MMA were sitting. And of course, immediately the guard came and stopped us, and we of course we couldn't open the at the beginning of the banner, and even a academic poet jumped from the first line and he hit me with the file. And he just started to somehow help for the guards. And then during this, Szabolcs also and the others were yelling and start to list or demands, and it was a big chaos anyhow.
And Szabolcs, one of the banners from Free Movers that says MMA is not sexy. Why is MMA not sexy?
Well, I think this is it's a rather humorous kind of take on the issue because it is much more than being not sexy. But for sure, it is not sexy at all. actually, it is. I think it's the text as such comes from Chaba, maybe, if I'm right.
Yeah.
I think there are endless problems with the MMA. First of all, there is an ideological problem. The other one, which I think is the most tragical, is this very, very closed conservative view on the art, what they promote, and also the exclusiveness of the institution, which is called MMA, but also of the cultural politics or political strategies they were trying to implement. And it also has a very special kind of so-called national character. So they would presume that they support and they promote the national kind of content or aspect of art, which I truly believe that it's a totally misunderstanding of the word and of this quality. And so I think these three or four things together, like the very strong ideological aspect, the conservativeness, and the misunderstanding of what the national value means, I think these three together are extremely dangerous. It's a very dangerous combination, and that's what made me and makes me still totally angry and active.
In the interview of György Fekete, he also mentioned that they don't need critical art in state institutions. And this is really crazy. How is it possible? Mm-hmm. And they also mentioned that they like to support Christian-based art, which is also really interesting today, how they think about it. Because, of course, there are art which is related to religious things as well, but in this conservative way, I think the meaning is something different. And they are not sexy also because they have no humor at all.
So if the MMA is like the big sticking point or the big issue, and the Muchanak was also something that people got very upset about last November, another recent flashpoint has been the whole furore over the Ludwig Museum and the competition, or kind of fixed competition, if you like, as it seemed from outside, for the directorship, for the new directorship. And free artists have also been involved from the outset in the protests around the mm-hmm. Ludwig Museum. Maybe you could say a little bit about your involvement in that and the whole experience of those protests, mm-hmm. which were quite distinctive in the Hungarian cultural scene.
And this protest took place in the first week of May, and actually it was a 12-day long occupation of the Ludwig Museum, more precisely the stairs of the Ludwig Museum. And so the developments that led to this protest, which was an occupation, actually are, I would say, are the same. They have the same kind of motivation, and they have the same background as the MMA. Because also the with the MMA, the big problem, it's not with this institution, and it is not with the people who believe in a certain ideology of art. It is more in those political and cultural structures which would place them on the top. And somehow this is what happened also in the case of Ludwig Museum, that there was a process of choosing the new director for the museum, which process actually went on, let's say, legally fine. So it was based on a, the whole process was based on a pretty old kind of law which controls these sort of processes, which is from 1994. And the whole process was legal, but totally untransparent and undemocratic. And actually, our demands when we entered the Ludwig Museum was to make this process transparent. And so many people misunderstood the aim of our action by saying or thinking that we were lobbying against or for any of the applicants. There were two applicants for the directorship, actually. But in fact, from the very beginning, we in all our texts and kind of official texts and so on, we were absolutely clear about the fact that we are what actually bothers us. It is the untransparency of this whole process, and we believed at that point, and we still believe, or I still believe, that if a certain law it is it's not functioning well, then you have to remake it, and so it's not a solution to continuously make reference that, okay, so what we are doing, it's a legally fine kind of process. And that was what brought us there.
And also because we like to still speak about the situation of Micsoda the Kunsthalle, because it's mentioned that the MMA will get it sooner or later, which is also really a crazy thing that a state building and institution belongs a very special cultural institute, and what for and why it was not discussed with the public or with the art scene. And also there are other stories which happened with the National Theater and some other institutions as well. So that was the main point, that we ask transparencies in this kind of cultural decision.
What I was wondering is how easy has it been to mobilize the art world and also kind of mobilize public opinion more generally around quite philosophical ideas, quite philosophical slogans that, for example, you had in the Ludwig protest. I mean, you know, the demand for transparency in decision making, or mm-hmm. Autonomy for art institutions, or professional consultation. I mean, I think those are great demands, mm-hmm. but I mean, how easy it is for people in general to really get a grip on the importance of those issues? Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say these are very kind of high eyebrow philosophical demands, actually. So, because when I first started thinking about kind of transparency, my old thoughts were based on many experiences, not only cultural ones. So this is a. So I think the lack of transparency, it is a general issue in Hungary on all the fields, starting from economy through education and ending up in culture and whatever. So it is not something that would have to do only with the cultural field. For sure, certain issues which were raised by us are, let's say, more specific, like the autonomy of cultural institutions, which maybe it's a bit more difficult for kind of regular people to understand. And I'm not very sure that many of them kind of understood it. But I'm totally sure that the demand for transparency was understood by many people. If we think about, if we consider how efficiently we managed to get through our message, I would say that because of the unexpectedness and the uniqueness of the act, like it was actually the very first and kind of occupation in Hungary, and I think therefore it gained quite a wide kind of media coverage, which kind of transmitted, I think, the message to many people. I think in spite of this, many of our kind of main points weren't understood kind of properly, either by regular people or not even artists. And I think this has to do with a certain culture of discussion, and with a certain culture of a certain view on how various kind of issues which relates to the public sphere should be discussed and should be kind of handled. And what actually happened during these 12 days of occupation, it was not only the fact that we were kind of pushing our demands, we were also trying to create a space, which meant that we kept the museum open 24 hours a day, and we organized many, many meetings and discussions and forums, and so we were applying a certain, let's say, strategy of communication, which I think was extremely useful, and I think that was somehow the biggest thing that was achieved during this occupation.
Would you agree then that there are echoes or some kind of connections or underground connections between the kinds of things that were going on at the Ludwigstairs and earlier global protest movements like Occupy Wall Street or the Arab Spring? I mean, just in terms of, I know you've talked before about a kind of new paradigm arising. Whether there's something of this going on in the movement in Hungary at the moment.
I'm totally sure that there is a connection in between these events and movements, and for sure I would say that maybe we wouldn't even try to occupy if there was no, any previous occupation in the world before, and especially the Occupy Wall Street the movement of by Noah Fisher with the Occupy Museums or whatever. So for sure, I mean, these ideas and kind of possible ways of acting, these would go global, and for sure they would influence each other. So I'm totally sure about that.
But which is different? Here the people are more passive still, so there are some circles and few people who are really active and really try to speak about the problems in the culture and also in the everyday politics, but still there are not enough people who are trying to be there in time and try to make a bigger force.
And shall we think about future, yes, of the maybe reflect on several weeks passed since the occupation, and I have the feeling that there are new ideas developing, but not immediately. The question is not immediacy, but how do you envision the possible outcomes of the situation now, and what is the future for Hungarian art scene in these circumstances and coming up prospects?
Yeah, it really depends on the next election, actually, that how will be changed or not changed the situation here in Hungary. Well, if this same government will win in next election, it's sure that we should find some other strategies, to make some different channels, not only to use the state possibilities and official programs. So we should somehow build up a kind of new structure, a kind of alternative structure. Maybe that can be a solution, and already actually started. There are some small independent or relatively independent institutions who were already active and try to organize programs, and they just give places for meetings and actions as well.
But are we going back to the old system of official and unofficial art as it was so well known in the history before 89? Or is it something else happening?
In a way, it happens the same. But parallelly, I would say that some other things are happening also. In Hungary, actually, the biggest problem, I think, with the culture is that it relies almost entirely on kind of state support or state funding, and therefore it is very much dependent on those institutions which would distribute these funds. And what actually was going on in the Hungarian culture in the last two decades after the system change was that certain groups, let's say from left and right, kind of interchanging each other, tried to get access to these funds and for sure to promote their vision about culture. And I think that this whole system should be changed. So therefore, actually, when I'm thinking about the future of art, I would say that maybe it doesn't really make that much sense whether is this government on power or the other one. Even though this one, I think it is very, very. How should I put it? Very bad and very destructive in a way. But even before, there were other kind of governments which were destructive, almost at the same extent. So, therefore, what I think, I think that's it's a good notion to make reference to this change of paradigm, because on one hand, when Csaba speaks about these new kind of small institutions, new initiatives, actually as yours, for instance, or all these, I think that those initiatives could build up. Kind of parallel, kind of institutional background, but for the sake of the functioning of this kind of web of new institutions, I think a totally new vision upon let's say culture and upon communication and upon kind of distribution of the funds and so on should be achieved. So. So I think the changes should be much more radical and much deeper than to just change the, let's say, the government. Because I think the is the mentality which should be changed, not that much the political system. For sure, certain mentalities would go together with political systems, but yeah.
And of course, this is not the same situation like what was in the 70s, because at that time the border was absolutely closed, the structure of the whole political world it was different, and at that time it was Cold War, and information background was really different. Actually, for me, it's more this situation. It's more reminds me of the Horthy regime a bit, because at that time it was also possible to make not anything but quite many things. But there was no really audience who could follow the independent and progressive culture. So it seems that this power tried to construct this kind of strategy in the culture and in the society, and we will see how it's going on.
And maybe one last question: if people in the wider world listening to this podcast wanted to help or do something to show their solidarity with the free artists and what you stand for in Hungary, is there anything they can do? Is there a website they can visit or anything like that?
There are many things they can do, actually. They can gather some more detailed information from various sources, but maybe first of all from this blog, which is called nemma.blogspot.org. Is it Blogspot? I'm not sure. Okay. And on the other hand, it would be absolutely great if the people would come by and would start kind of getting in contact with the art kind of scene in Hungary, because I think some extremely interesting processes have started in this art scene. So, and I think it worth to be, you know, to be seen, to be researched or surveyed or so on. And I think that would help a lot in order to avoid this kind of the closing in itself of the Hungarian culture, which is I think it's one of the main points the actual cultural policy tries to achieve, to just to speak only about what is Hungarian. And so in my view, what is Hungarian could be understood only through the international or through an international kind of perspective. And so then they could help us a lot by being here and reflecting and, you know, maybe doing various things.